Monday, January 15th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. Happy Monday to you. Have to say happy Martin Luther King Day to you here if you are in the United States of America. I mean, happy Martin Luther King Day to you even if you aren't in the United States of America, but it might not mean quite as much to you if you aren't here. Then again, I guess I could say the same thing about people who live in Arizona as far as that goes. So what I am trying to say is happy Martin Luther King Day wherever you are today. If you are somehow unaware of what Martin Luther King stood for, what he was all about, maybe you've heard it thrown around, maybe you don't really know, maybe, like I said, maybe you're not in the US of A, and so you don't exactly know. Martin Luther King was a Baptist minister who became one of the most visible spokespeople of the civil rights movement for equality back in the 50s and 60s. And you know, I realize that we are an evolving society. I realize that we are always trying to get better. We're always trying to get kinder. We're always trying to be gentler than we have ever been in the past. But like today of all days, like listen to a few of the quotes that you might hear from Dr. King. Like listen to a quote like, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" Like, you have to think we could use a little of that wisdom today, wouldn't you? Maybe just a little bit. You know, when he said, "We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools," it might, just maybe, it might feel even more applicable today than it did even then, doesn't it? Just seems like it's funny because, like, we think about trying to be nicer and gentler and, like, we're evolving it. I don't know, kind of need a little more of Dr. King today, don't we, at times? Now, if you would like to contact us here at the Daily Dose, tell us why you think those things are important. Maybe you have a Dr. King story you would like to tell, or maybe you have some input on MLK Day in general. We'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Now, I hope that you are fortunate enough to be off today. Like, I know it's Monday. I hope you get the day off work. I don't know if you do. I know that a lot of people don't. I hope that you do. But what we wanted to do today, in honor of Martin Luther King Day, we wanted to have a little something different for you. Because if you do have to work, wanted to give you something a little, just a little bit longer than a normal 30-minute show. So coming back, we are going to have a flashback all the way back to New Year's 2014. And we had some New Year's resolutions for the upcoming year. We had some breaking sports news. We had a number of things that we wanted to talk about. Some of the biggest stories from 2014 in sports. We are going to get to all of that right after this.
Someone on this train does not belong. Find them.
Why would I do it?
There would be a reward.
500 passengers.
If I identify them, someone on this train's gonna kill them.
One target.
You stop this goddamn train now.
It's time to finish what you started.
I'm done playing games.
Liam Neeson is The Commuter. In cinemas Friday. Rated 15.
Wednesday, December 31st, 2014, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado, bringing you our final podcast of 2014. Hey, we talk sports every single week right here and give you a little bit different outlook on the sports stories that you care the most about. You can download the podcast in a few different places. You can download the podcast on iTunes. You can download the podcast on Podomatic. You can download the podcast on Stitcher.com. You can listen to it anywhere. The great thing about the podcast, and like we've said in the past, you know, you may have listened to the Daily Dose show in the past in a different format. The great thing about the podcast that we like so much is that you can listen to it when it's convenient for you. You can listen to it while you're driving, sitting in traffic. You can listen to it while you're working. You can listen to it while you're out walking your dog. It doesn't matter. Listen to it anywhere. Obviously, you can listen to it just as you're in the house, just, you know, plugging it into your mobile device, however you want to listen to it. But that's the great part about the podcast that we like so much, that is different from what it used to be. Are you ready for 2015? Are you making any resolutions? Are you, you know, going to start some of the, you know, the resolutions? Typically what they do is you gain, like, right around the holidays, right just before you know, the Christmas holiday or whatever it is, maybe it's Hanukkah or whatever, you start eating, you start getting those extra things in the office people are bringing in, you know, these extra goodies, and you're just, and so you end up, you pack on about 20 pounds, and then you say, I'm going to lose, this is very American of us, I'm going to lose 10 pounds as my New Year's resolution. Well, that's great. You're still up 10. You know, a good resolution to make. Good resolution to make. Just keep this in mind tonight, because tonight's the night. Tonight is the night that the ball will drop. We'll celebrate the new year. We get things going, and you know, they always say whatever you spend your time doing on New Year's Eve is kind of what you're going to be doing in the new year. A good rule of thumb is whatever you're going to, if you need some help with resolution, a good rule of thumb is whatever you're doing tonight, you might have to actually vow to stop that in the new year. So maybe you go out and you're drinking tonight, you're smoking tonight, you're eating too much, you're making out with some stranger. Those are the things you probably just want to say, okay, my resolution is I'm going to stop doing those things once the new year hits. You know, 2014 was a crazy year. We saw a lot of different things. And a lot of the things we saw in 2000, they didn't make sense. 2014 didn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, we saw airliners completely vanish. We have no idea. We have tracking systems to know where these planes go, and we can't find them. That doesn't make a lot of sense. We saw a man just jump the fence and walk right up into the White House. Door was open. He walked right on in. No problem. Security didn't stop him. Nobody got him. I can't walk into Costco without giving like a urine sample and like a piece of my hair. They're stopping me going in and going out. And this guy walks right in to the White House. Doesn't make a lot of sense. We had a lot of people in 2014 dumping buckets of ice water over their heads. Now down south, some people just call that a hillbilly bath, but we had a lot of people just dumping ice buckets, you know, right over their head. Granted, most of the people that did this were living in drought conditions. I understand. And then we kind of freaked out about Ebola, despite the fact that, let's be honest, the flu is going to probably kill more of us than Ebola ever will. We don't worry about that. Did you get your flu shot? Nah. Eh, I don't need to get that. That ain't going to get me. Now Ebola, now that scared us. That scared us a little bit more. Granted, it hasn't really killed anyone here in the United States. Maybe like one person. We don't worry about that. Heart disease? Nah. But Ebola, that's going to get us. We got worried about that. Got things a little bit twisted. 2014 didn't make a lot of sense. Manny Pacquiao yesterday responded to Floyd Mayweather. You know, Mayweather was talking, hey, let's do this fight. Manny Pacquiao responded, at least on Twitter, and said, hey, let's do this thing. Let's get this together. Let's make fistery. Yep, fistery, he said. Let's make fistery. Fist. You know, boxing, fist. You know, your hand clenched, fist. So clever. So clever. Tell you what, you're both fold, and I don't want to watch this fight. You know what? In fact, I'm not watching this fight. I don't have any interest in this fight. It's probably the biggest fight. It would be the biggest fight we've seen, I can't even tell you since when. Probably since a Tyson fight or something. And like I've told you, I'm a boxing fan. I have no interest in seeing this fight. Maybe if it was 2009, I would want to see it. I don't care. I don't care anymore. You're both on the backside of your career. Does the winner get a fight Sugar Ray Leonard? Then maybe I'll watch it. Ndamukong Suh, defensive tackle, appealed his suspension for stepping on the leg of Green Bay's quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And they actually overturned the suspension when he appealed it. Everybody appeals. No one actually gets the suspension overturned. They actually overturned this. They actually flipped it and said, okay, we're going to let you play. We're going to fine you $70,000, and you can go ahead and play. Couple thoughts on why they're letting him play. First off, the real reason they're letting him play, and I don't want to hear about, well, I don't know if you stepped on him on purpose. Here's the problem. The suspension isn't for whether you stepped on him or not. The suspension is for you being stupid enough to look like you did. And I'm pretty sure you did. Like 99.999% sure you did. The fact that you never turned around, if I just back up and I step on a guy, I turn around and go, oh, hey, my bad. Aaron, my bad. I didn't mean to step on you, dude. He didn't even turn around. He knew what he stepped on. You don't step on a human being and be like, I never felt him. I didn't even know I stepped on anything. I just thought I was walking on the pavement there. You felt it. didn't even turn around. So he clearly did it. But here's the key. And the $70,000 fine is an absolute joke. That's like charging you 70 cents. That's nothing. If you park, if you go to your office job and you park where the president is supposed to park and they charge you 70 cents, trust me, I'm parking there every day. You know what? Just deduct it from my check. That's fine. You're not going to fire me. You're not going to suspend me. I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm parking right up front. El Presidente, you can park out in the back somewhere. You're not parking here. I'm getting that spot. 70 cents? Yeah, I'll pay it. No big deal. Now, the reason that they overturned it, let's be real clear, and they're going to say, well, we just felt we weren't real sure. It had to be a little more concrete. No, no, no. It's a playoff game. That's why they overturned it. End of story. That's it. There is no other side to it. They overturned it because, hey, it's a playoff game. It could hurt them. Let's have a better game. Let's have a few more people tune in. The Oakland Raiders have buried Tony Sperano. If you'll remember, Tony Sperano, when he got the job, what was he, 4 or 5 games into the season, he went out and buried the football. He buried the football at practice to show that the beginning of the season, when we lost all these games, we started off the season 0-4, 0-5, whatever it was, we're going to bury that. Well, unless you're burying their players, it's not going to get much better. And I'll give Sperano some credit. I'll give him a little bit of credit. Because they were scrappy. They don't have much talent, but they did at least scrap. I'll give them some credit for that. Sperano had to go, though. They let him loose. The Chicago Bears fired Mark Trestman, their head coach, and supposedly quarterback whisperer. He was going to come in and fix Jay Cutler. I've got news for you. Jay Cutler probably can't be fixed. He may or may not make an appearance later in the show. The owner of the Chicago Bears, and I'm spacing on her name. She's the grandma that's back there, a Hallis relative, I believe, that says that she's very, very angry. She's very angry with the situation. You should be angry. You should be angry that you signed Jay Cutler to all that money. Highest paid player in the league. And then we have the situation in San Francisco where the San Francisco 49ers and Jim Harbaugh agreed apparently to separate and go their own separate ways. Harbaugh has now gone to Michigan. So now San Francisco is looking for a head coach. We have, of these, I have heard Atlanta, Oakland, and San Francisco. I'm not sure if Chicago. They have all at least asked for and received permission to speak with Denver Broncos offensive coordinator Adam Gase, which is interesting to me because do they not realize that Peyton Manning is the one running that show? I mean, you can take Gase if you want to, but really he's just doing what Peyton tells him to. Hey, we've got some end of season NFL awards we got to hand out. Got a number of awards we've got to get to today on the Daily Dose. Let's hand out a few awards because the regular season now is over. Most valuable player of the NFL this year. I understand that the Houston Texans did all they could to try to get J.J. Watt in there. I get it. You tried to win him the Heisman. I understand. But Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the most valuable player. Because we saw this past week, and man, it was amazing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had 38 touchdowns, 5 interceptions this year. Obviously, you know, the Packers are right there. Going to be very, very tough. They'll be a tough out. I know if they have to go to Seattle, it'll be brutal. But finished 12-4. But the thing, it made me almost wonder, like, Aaron Rodgers this past Sunday, if you didn't see the game, they play Detroit. He comes up lame with the hurt calf, and he leaves for like a quarter. And in that quarter, we see his backup come in and just basically win Rodgers the MVP right there. Right there and then, it was a done deal. Because Matt Flynn came in and looked completely lost, like he usually does. And then Rodgers comes back out. I mean, he stands in the tunnel. He waits for the applause to grow. And he comes out like Willis Reed with the Knicks back in the 70s. And he leads him to victory. I don't know, did he fake that injury just to win that MVP? But most likely, I don't think he actually did. Most likely they shot him full of something and he came out ready to play. But you could just see if there is a guy that is valuable to his team, take Aaron Rodgers out of that situation and just play Matt Flynn, and that's probably maybe a 5-11 team. I don't think that's too far-fetched to say. So my MVP of the year has to be Aaron Rodgers. Clearly very, very valuable to the Green Bay Packers. My least valuable player, our LVP, we spoke about him earlier. I told you he might make an appearance, has to be Jay Cutler, Chicago Bears quarterback. 28 touchdowns. That's not bad. 28 touchdowns, that's not bad.
30 turnovers between interceptions and fumbles. 30 turnovers. He is Roman Gabriel-esque back there with the way he puts the ball on the ground. And the bad part about this, because we've seen Cutler. We know Cutler here in Denver. We've seen him. We kind of know how he operates. The bad thing is this is a talented offense. Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett. How can you be 5-11 with that much talent? You should be putting up a ton of points. Jay Cutler easily is our LVP this season. Our most improved player. Let's hand out our most improved player. Most improved player this year has to be Justin Houston, the linebacker out of Kansas City. With the Chiefs, Houston this season has 22 sacks. Now, I realize that's a little bit, we're kind of finding out maybe Kansas City kind of fudged those numbers, but it's probably close. It's 22 sacks. Let's just keep it at 22. Keep this in mind, though, when you're looking at most improved. In his previous three seasons, he's had 26 sacks total. 26. Now he has 22 just this season. Expect a banned substance, suspension coming real, real soon for Justin Houston because they're going to be testing that guy. All of a sudden, he just got really, really, really good. That's usually what happens. Come about July, we'll start hearing how Justin Houston's going to be sitting out for four games to start off the season. Some sort of substance. I don't know. He's trying to get his wife pregnant. I don't know. Something. It's amazing how those things work. Our least improved player, what we call it here, is the Ryan Leaf Award. Least improved player this year has to be Robert Griffin III. It's got to be. Who else could it go to? Do you know how many? Robert Griffin III with the Washington Redskins this year, he has four touchdowns. He has four more touchdowns than I do sitting on my couch. Here's the whole story with Robert Griffin. He was benched in favor of Colt McCoy. If Colt McCoy and Kirk Cousins are replacing you, you're probably doing something really, really wrong. Four touchdowns on the season. Robert Griffin looks broken right now. I don't know if he can be fixed, but the Ryan Leaf Award this year goes to RG3. Our Rookie of the Year. Let's hand out our Rookie of the Year award. It has to go to Odell Beckham Jr. with the New York Giants. He's got 91 catches, 12 touchdowns. Obviously, the sick catch that he had in the end zone 2 weeks back. People are talking about one of the greatest catches of all time. Here's my only problem with him. I don't like his nickname. You can't be ODB. That belongs to the Woo. You can't be ODB. Beckham, you can't be Bex. That's taken. OJ, you can't be OJ. We don't want you killing folks. How about OBJ? I don't know. But you can't be ODB. You can't be ODB. You don't have the money. You can't. Nope. That's off limits. But our rookie there, Odell Beckham Jr., has had an amazing season. And here's the most impressive part for Beckham. Eli Manning is throwing him the ball. That might be the most impressive part of the whole thing. Our not rookie of the year here in Denver, we call it the Ted Gregory Award. If you don't know who it is, you better ask somebody. It's got to be the two biggest names coming out this year in the draft. Jadeveon Clowney and Johnny Manziel. They just didn't play all year. And then when they finally did, we wished that they hadn't. Jadeveon Clowney has the microfracture thing going in his knee, and then Manziel has, I don't know, keg stands to do, but neither one of them did anything. They were the biggest names coming out. Neither one of them, you know, one couldn't play. One apparently, I don't know, wouldn't play or failed to prepare to play or didn't play well, that's for sure. So our not rookies of the year, it's a co award this year. Clowney and Manziel take that home. Best coach of the year, and I can't believe I'm saying this. It's going to hurt me to say this. The best coach of the year has to go to the Dallas Cowboys, Jason Garrett. Because he finally figured out that if we run the ball, then Tony Romo doesn't have to make these horrible decisions on third downs. He finally figured out that if we run the ball, it keeps our horrible defense off the field. And I've told you before, I don't have much faith in this Dallas defense, but they're hiding it well. That's the key. You can have a bad defense if you can figure out how to hide it. He finally figured, it only took him four or five seasons. I thought he was Ivy League. I thought he was a little smarter than that. Well, I guess he finally figured out, I got to give it to Jason Garrett. And we always just kind of count on the Cowboys going 8-8. It's like it's an automatic 8-8. What are the Cowboys going to do? 8-8 every year. Somehow they're 12-4 this year. I've got to give it to Jason Garrett. You realize they're 8-0 on the road? They're 8-0 on the road. And keep this in mind. They went into Seattle and won once. I don't know if they can do it again. I wouldn't think so. But they've done it once. Our worst coach of the year. We call it the Josh McDaniels Award. We're going to give to Washington's Jay Gruden. Because throughout this season, with his mess with RG3, and with his mess with what was going on with that team, he kept discussing things in the media instead of doing it in the locker room behind closed doors. Instead of going to RG3 like a man and saying, hey, you better step up your game, son. He would do it in the media. Yeah, RG3 needs to step up his game. He doesn't really look like he knows what he's doing. Doesn't really listen to what we're trying to teach him. He hasn't really figured it out. He's not a very good player. Shut up. Go tell him that. Don't tell the guys in the news that. Go talk to the man himself. So Jay Gruden wins our worst coach of the year. And you know the craziest part about it? Our worst coach of the year didn't even get fired. At least not yet. He hasn't even gotten fired. But he discussed everything that went on with that team in the media. Our comeback player of the year. Comeback player of the year, New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. 82 catches, 12 touchdowns. And the reason I give him this, keep in mind last year he was out most of the season, had the elbow, had the leg, the trick knee. I don't know. He had a bunch of injuries. He seems like he's always injured. Hasn't been injured at all this year. You could make a case that Gronkowski has been the difference in New England because he's such a safety net for Tom Brady. I mean, he has had a phenomenal season, and I really believe he is the reason that offense is looking as good as it does, because anytime Brady's in trouble, he knows, this guy's got my back. I've got him. I can just chuck it, and he'll go get it. So Rob Gronkowski wins our comeback player of the year. Our player that should not have come back this year, we like to call it the Brett Favre Award, has to be the Indianapolis Colts' Reggie Wayne, who returned from that gruesome knee injury we saw last year. He popped his knee, lost the whole season when they played Denver. Came back this year. Do you realize Reggie Wayne has 2 touchdowns? Just doesn't look like he can play at a high level anymore. Just looks like the game may have just kind of passed him by. And it's not like he's not getting snaps. It's not like he's not getting balls thrown to him. Reggie Wayne is getting like 2 or 3 drops a game. Just looks like the game has kind of passed him. Reggie Wayne with our Brett Favre Award this year. Our best free agent signing of the NFL season. I'm going to be a homer on this one. I'm going to go with Denver signing Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders this year has 101 catches, 9 touchdowns. This was a guy with the Steelers who could never seem to be healthy, could never seem to be on the field. Sounded like him and Roethlisberger maybe didn't have the tightest relationship. He's come here and has not only been a good guy in the locker room, it seems like a good guy in the community. He's been all those things we didn't think he was. He hasn't been injured. He's been back in. He's taken big hits. He's had great hands. He's made the tough catch game after game after game. Our best free agent signing, I'm going to give it to Emmanuel Sanders. And I don't care if you think I'm a homer. Our worst free agent signing, we call this the Larry Brown Award, because if you'll remember, when Larry Brown, cornerback with the Dallas Cowboys, catches a couple of gifts from Neil O'Donnell in the Super Bowl back in, 95? The Oakland Raiders go out and pay this clown all kinds of bank for no reason whatsoever because he hadn't really done anything. Needless to say, he did nothing. We really, really should just call worst free agent signing. We should just maybe we just change it to the Oakland Raider Award. Because it seemed like the Raiders will get the worst free agent signing every single year. And amazing, they did it again this year. Matt Schaub this year brought in to be kind of the mentor to the rookie Derek Carr. He couldn't even get on the field. Had 10 attempts, and 2 of those were caught by the other team. Threw the ball 10 times, and 2 of them went the other way. 20% of his passes went to the other team. He's making $8 million this year. $8 million for 10 attempts? And Derek Carr was okay. I mean, he came in, he did it okay. But keep in mind, there was a spot early in the season when they did have to sit Derek Carr down. He had gotten banged up. Game was going a little fast for him. They had to go get Matt McGloin off the bench because Schaub couldn't do anything. Schaub is basically incapable of playing at this level. I love how the Raiders have spun now. Hey, we've got Khalil Mack and we've got Derek Carr. Slow down. You've also got a big bankroll going to Matt Schaub. Don't act like everything's fixed in Oakland. It's not. I like the direction you're going, but it's not quite there yet. The surprise team, we talked about them before, has to be the Dallas Cowboys. They actually finished 12-4. They're going to the playoffs, and they are one of the more balanced teams in the NFL. And again, I'm sitting here saying, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's absolutely true. The Dallas Cowboys somehow don't finish 8-8 like they do every year. The not-so-surprise team, and again, we could probably just name this after the team that wins it, the San Diego Charger Award. Let me guess, the Chargers choked again? Yep. I mean, what did San Diego fans do to deserve this every single year? Is it because they live where they live? They live in that, in just a beautiful city, and I mean, they've got the water, and it's nice temperatures, and it's... Is that what it is, that it just, the football gods will not allow them to enjoy anything? Because, as usual, they choked again. Let me guess, though, Phillip Rivers was probably really gutsy in defeat, huh? That's how it usually works. That's how it usually works. Phillip Rivers, he looks so good in defeat. He was so tough, so gutsy. Well, yeah, he lost. Yeah, he lost. Don't bring that part up. Hey, let's have a little 2014 year in review. Let's look at, you know, some of the major sports, some of the major stories that took place in 2014. Obviously, we know in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl. That was the big story. Finally, the city of Seattle got some sort of championship other than being the loudest fans, the 12th man. They finally got a meaningful championship to hang up in that stadium. Good for them. I'm happy for them because being the loudest can only carry you so far. After a while, everyone starts to realize this is really all kind of stupid. Now, let's look at the, because as you know, I'm here in Denver, Colorado. I'm going to look a little bit at the home team and take a look at their best and worst of the year. So if I'm looking at the Denver Broncos in 2014, for them, their best game of the year has to be that AFC Championship against the New England Patriots. And with Peyton Manning coming over to Denver, that seems to be the true rivalry. We don't really have a rivalry right now in the AFC West. It used to be the Raiders. That's kind of over, at least for now. And these are all kind of cyclical. But the Raiders, really not so much. The Chiefs, they're okay, but you know, you sweep them. And the Chargers, they're okay, but Phillip Rivers seems to choke. We don't really have a rival. The best rival the Broncos have right now is the New England Patriots. So when the Broncos beat the Patriots at home last January, February, to go to the Super Bowl, that had to be the best moment for the Broncos in 2014. Obviously, the worst moment for the Broncos came 2 weeks later when they saw the Seahawks and Peyton Manning forgot what the snap count was on and the ball went out into the end zone on that first snap of the game, and everybody nationwide just kind of went, uh-oh, is it gonna... You know, the worst part about the blowout Super Bowl is that you get no respect for even getting there. And we as Bronco fans know something about this. We've won two. We've been to, what, seven? I don't know, eight? We've been to a number. But the blowout Super Bowl is the most demeaning Super Bowl because you get no respect for being second. There is no, well, hey, you guys made it to the Super Bowl. Good for you. It's the, really? You got blown out again and ruined my Super Bowl party? That's all you get. That's all you get when you get blown out in the Super Bowl. That's just how it goes. In the NBA, the San Antonio Spurs beat the Heat in five games, establishing themselves as a modern-day dynasty in the NBA and breaking ankles all over as people jumped off that Miami Heat bandwagon that they had been on for the past 2 or 3 years. The Spurs completely decimated the Miami Heat and chased LeBron James back to Cleveland. Now, here locally, the Denver Nuggets... I don't even know if they really have a best or worst. The best for the Denver Nuggets, I would say, in 2014 was the fact that Nene and Andre Miller both went to the NBA semifinals. The worst, of course, is that they were members of the Washington Wizards when this actually happened. But we did see two former players that played in Nuggets gear for a while go to the semifinals in the playoffs. It's been a while since that's happened. So I guess that's going to have to be our best and worst for the Denver Nuggets. In Major League Baseball, we saw pitchers step up big. San Francisco Giants beat the Kansas City Royals in a World Series that nobody watched. If you watched it, consider yourself lucky because you were one of the few. I think the Food Network carried it for most of the series, and then it switched over to the Home Shopping Network or something. But that game wasn't those games, and the playoffs on through the World Series. Was the World Series on? I think it was on like cable, but I don't know if it was on just regular network TV. I know the playoffs weren't. I'm pretty sure the playoffs were on VH1 or something. For locally, our teams here, the Colorado Rockies, the best of the 2014 season for them would probably just be when that season mercifully finally came to an end. The worst for the Colorado Rockies was when on, and you're going to think I'm joking. If you live here locally, you'll know that I'm not. On Jersey night, when fans who come out and actually support this dreadful team and franchise come out and get free jerseys, their best player on the roster is Troy Tulowitzki. They misspelled his name on jersey giveaway night. That's how bad this franchise is. Colorado Rockies. It is a love-hate relationship with that franchise here in Colorado, and I hate them. I told you last week, Colorado Rockies fans, stop renewing your tickets. Stop renewing your tickets every year. Quit going. In the NHL, we had the Los Angeles Kings beat the New York Rangers for the Stanley Cup. Actually, a better series, better hockey than it actually may have looked. I believe that was in five games. Was it a sweep? It wasn't. It was better hockey than what you would think. They were all close games. They were all tight games. And then now you've got Los Angeles fans just found out they have a championship, so they're getting those flags on the back of their cars. You know how that goes in L.A. The Lakers flags come down. The Kings flags go up. That'll stay that way at least for a while till Kobe gives it up. Here locally for the Colorado Avalanche, the best moment was when the Avs actually beat the Minnesota Wild in the first round in Game 1, overtime victory. And for Colorado, we have been kind of spoiled fans as far as hockey because we didn't have any hockey for a long time. We get the Avs, and in the first year, we win the Stanley Cup. We're like, oh, this hockey stuff's easy. And then we won another one in 2001, and you're like, oh, this is so great. I love it. And then now we've had like a 10-year drought where we're not even getting into the playoffs. So this past year, when we got into the playoffs, faced Minnesota in the first round, it was so cool just to have playoff hockey in Colorado again. Now, of course, the worst came six games later when the Avs actually lost in Game 7 in overtime once again to that same Minnesota Wild team and ended the Colorado Avalanche's season. That was probably our best and worst here in Colorado. Not only did we get to remember how it felt to be in the playoffs, we also got to remember how much it hurt to get knocked out when you were leading that series. Let's move forward. We finish up the Daily Dose Sports Podcast with a very popular feature. We have our Daily Dose Top 5. And our Daily Dose Top 5, of course, with this being New Year's Eve that we're bringing this to you, bring in the new year, bring in 2015. We are going to remember the greatest sports moments of 2014. Like I talked about earlier in the show, it's been a weird year. It's been a different year, kind of a strange year, and sports were no different. Our number five sports moment of the year is the Winter Olympics in Sochi. Yes, do you remember that? You kind of forgot, didn't you? Remember we had the Winter Olympics in Sochi? You don't remember one single thing about the actual games, do you? You know you don't. The only thing I can remember is that Bob Costas had pink eye. And I think Vladimir Putin might have wrestled a bear or something. Other than that, I have no recollection of the actual games themselves. I think we lost some hockey games, and I don't know, maybe some skiing stuff happened. I have no idea. I do remember pus coming out of Bob Costas' eye every night on primetime. But other than that, I don't have a whole lot. I really don't remember. But it was a huge story at the time. Everybody was watching the Olympics. The Winter Olympics are so odd. It's just odd. I mean, it's all games that you would just play out in the snow if you got drunk enough. The number four sports moment of 2014 were the moves that actually took place in the NBA. Phil Jackson goes to the New York Knicks to somehow, I don't know, make them worse. And LeBron James goes back to Cleveland. And all those people in Cleveland that had burned his jerseys apparently had to go extinguish them or buy new ones. So now, I mean, the NBA moves, we had some big-time NBA moves of players moving around and Phil Jackson moving back. Big stories, every single one of them. The number three top sports moment in 2014 had to be the World Cup in Brazil. And I know it's not as big to us, because soccer just it's not what it is everywhere else. But in the World Cup was probably the biggest story. Of course, we in the United States here, we kind of watch our own. Germany beat Argentina in the final. You might not remember that. I guess I sort of remember. What, you know, the thing I remember about the World Cup is I remember Germany beating the host Brazil 7-1. And it was very, very similar to when the Heat got blown out by the Spurs. Everybody was jumping off that Brazil bandwagon in other parts of the world. You know, in other parts of the world, you know, they call it football. In the United States, we call it, we're not watching that. And in World Cup, it was a huge story. It was a huge story. It happens every 4 years, kind of like the Olympics. And World Cup was huge this year in 2014. Over the summer, I will admit, I watched some World Cup. I can't believe it, but it was that or baseball, so I had to watch something. The number two top five sports moment of 2014 was the off-field news in the NFL. It wasn't so much the stuff on the field. Think about the stories we had this year off the field. Even the games, Richard Sherman after the NFC Championship game. The story wasn't the fact that the Seahawks were going to the story was Richard Sherman talking. Michael Sam, the first openly gay player in the NFL. The Ray Rice domestic abuse situation. Adrian Peterson with the child abuse situation. We will remember 2014 in the NFL for all the off-field news, not so much as much what happened on the field. A lot of off-field stories. And the number one sports moment of 2014 had to be LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling being banned for life for the racial comments that he made by the NBA. And you know, when it hit, it was huge news. We were all kind of surprised that the NBA took a hard line with this, took a hard stance and said, you're done and you're done for good. You are banned for life, lawsuits pending, all this stuff. We're going to lawyer up and do some different things. Without a doubt, Donald Sterling, the biggest story in 2014. It was interesting because you heard a lot of opposing views. You heard he shouldn't be banned. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. He should be banned for what he said. People kind of had to understand the difference between law and policy. It's a law. If you're breaking a law, you get arrested, you go to jail. If it's a policy, I can ban you from my company. If you're gonna hurt business, and let's be real clear, that's what this is about. If you're gonna hurt my business in the NBA, we can ban you for life, and that's what the NBA did. They felt that Donald Sterling was probably gonna cost them a lot of sponsorship money, and they felt it best to get rid of him and kick him out. There is your Daily Dose top five.
Someone on this train does not belong. Find them.
Why would I do it?
There would be a reward.
500 passengers.
If I identify them, someone on this train's gonna kill them.
One target.
You stop this goddamn train now.
It's time to finish what you started.
I'm done playing games.
Liam Neeson is The Commuter in cinemas Friday, rated 15.
Hey, just a quick reminder, make sure that you do go use some of that post-holiday money, or you do go find something for Valentine's Day. It is coming over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can get the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. January's Loot Crate theme is called Discover. It features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. And if you go over to Loot Crate, you are going to find just about any movie, TV, or video game franchise that you can possibly think of. If you have someone difficult on that Valentine's Day list, Loot Crate might be the perfect place to go find them just the exact gift that you need. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just type in Daily Dose, DALYDOSE, in the coupon box. You will get 10% off of your order. Hey, we will have a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. Tomorrow, on the Tuesday edition, we will be recapping all of the NFL action from the divisional round of the playoffs. You know, the Patriots, they got some help from the refs. The Eagles had some other people step up to help Nick Foles. The Steelers, they got exactly what they deserved. And what are our biggest takeaways from those Minnesota Vikings? We will have Hump Day rankings this week, overreactions of the week, and of course, a Daily Dose top five later in the week to get to. So we still have a number of things to get to this week on the Daily Dose. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you who share the show, it is very, very much appreciated. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a wonderful Monday. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Enjoy the day.
This train does not belong. Find them.
Why would I do it?
There would be a reward.
500 passengers.
If I identify them, someone on this train's gonna kill them.
One target.
You stop this goddamn train now.
It's time to finish what you started.
I'm done playing games.
Liam Neeson is The Commuter in cinemas Friday. Rated 15.